Lord has called McPhee's family to the country of Wales. Now, many people think of all kinds of things when they think of the country of Wales. Many think of majestic castles, and there are over 400 castle sites in the country of Wales. Many think of the beautiful valleys and the rich scenery. Many think of the arts that the Welsh have been known for centuries. There are a lot of things people think of when they think of Wales. Country very rich in heritage, country very rich in history, especially church history. That's the other thing that people kind of automatically drawn to when they think of Wales. Well, it's the land of revival. You know, 1800s, early 1900s, you know, there were great revivals all across the country. Thousands being saved, getting their hearts right with God. We're talking about a time period where professional sports teams were having to rearrange their schedules because of poor attendance at church on Sunday. Can you imagine that happening today, here? But that was happening. Okay, you know, we're talking about a day when bars and pubs in towns were closing up shop because of lack of business. Why? Because people were getting saved. People were getting their hearts right with God. People were starting to live for God. And over the course of about 150 years, you had several of these movements sweep through the whole country. So now you may be wondering, for sure, why is this guy up here? You know, why do we need missionaries in Wales? You know, if 100 years ago, Wales was a land of revival, surely those churches that were started through the great revivals are doing something. So what are those churches doing today? Well, I want to remind you just for a moment, and I'm sure you all are well aware of this, a church is much more than a building. This building is not Fellowship Baptist Church. You, sitting in the pew, are Fellowship Baptist Church. The buildings that once represented a great testimony of the movement of the Holy Spirit and a revival, those buildings that were erected in the great revivals now represent apartment buildings, service stations, pubs, recreation centers. That is why there's a need for missionaries and church planters in the country of Wales. These are just a few snapshots that I took in the country of Wales a few years ago. What you see on the top right left is a building that would have seated about 400 people when it was built in the 1800s. And is now boarded up and in decay from abandonment. The top right, you see an apartment building that where once was a church where you would have heard the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The bottom right, you see another church building boarded up, available for sale for whoever wants it, whatever they want to do with it. The bottom left, you see a building where once again, 100 years ago, you would have heard a great gospel message. You would have seen people living for the Lord and sharing His grace with others. Now you find a pub. These are not exceptions. These have become the norm. Sadder still, many of them get snatched up by false teachers, such as this Kingdom Hall for the Jehovah's Witnesses. That is the situation in the country of Wales. Imagine for a moment, just fast forward yourself 30, 40, 50 years, knowing what this church has been in this community, pulling up and seeing a nightclub or a recreation center. There are people in Wales that drive by that can drive by the place where they probably went to church, and that's what they're seeing. The fact of the matter is, these buildings are not the way they are because the churches that were in them moved on to bigger and better facilities. These buildings are the way they are because the churches that once used them have died. So what happens when a culture that is so strongly exposed to the gospel rejects it, turns its back on it, leaves it behind, treats it as a relic, you know, looks real nice on the shelf, those were the days, but then ignores it, pretends it's not there? Wales is believed to have the highest depression rate in the United Kingdom. Wales also is believed to have the highest rate of child suicide in the United Kingdom. And again, that is the current state of affairs in that country. The Lord has called the McPeters family to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the country of Wales. We are very excited about this opportunity. The Lord really began to burden mine and Michelle's hearts for the people of Wales about 12 years ago. And through the course of events has led us through many experiences preparing us for this time. And the Lord has given me some wonderful helpers. My oldest daughter, Crystal, is sitting over here with me tonight. She was saved at the age of 7 and is a wonderful helper. Such a blessing. And my second daughter, Cora, she's 6 years old. She was saved at 4 years of age, 4 years of age. And I tell you, these two are prayer warriors. Yeah, there's nothing, you know, when Christ tells us to be like the little children and have that childlike faith, you know, there's a reason for that. And there's nothing like the faith of a child. And I'll tell you, there's hardly a day that goes by I'm not hearing these two girls praying for the people of Wales that we're going to meet, that we haven't met yet, praying for the people that are already working over there. This is a family effort. Our youngest, Adeline, the pastor mentioned that she's under the weather tonight, and please do pray for her. Traveling is never easy on anybody, but especially at 3 years old, you know, she's still forming things in her mind, and you know, she's still trying to wrap her brain around what's going on in her life right now. But we're praying for the eagerly for the day that she too accepts Christ, and excited about that. My wife, Michelle, the Lord, 11 years ago, the Lord gave me a wonderful helpmate. And I really don't know what to do without her. But she is at the house right now taking care of the 3-year-old. So that's our family. One of the questions, besides why Wales, the second most frequently asked question we get is, where is Wales? So I'm going to go ahead and answer that for you right off the bat. You see England there on the right. That's the main part that everybody thinks of. Scotland's up top. Wales is right there. Peninsula sticking out the west side of England. Country of Wales is about the size of our state of Massachusetts, but is almost entirely mountainous. I read somewhere, it's been speculated if you could take the mountains and kind of flatten them out, that it might be larger than the state of Texas. I don't know. Obviously, you can't prove that, but that is, you know, your encyclopedia information, so as it were, about where we're going. A group called Tier Fund in 2007 did a study on the subject of church attendance in the United Kingdom. Mind you, the study was not on the subject of salvation. It was just church attendance throughout the UK. So that included England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. Tier Fund concluded through their study that Wales is arguably the most secular nation in the United Kingdom. It's quite a leap from the land of revival only 100 years ago. There's about 3 million people that live in the country of Wales. 3 million people. Of those 3 million people, roughly 12% of the people that Tier Fund talked to said that they attend some kind of church regularly, any kind of church regularly. If I can trouble you just for a moment with definitions, by any kind of church, they really meant any kind of church. That included the state church, which is the Church of England, the Catholics, the Presbyterians, Methodists, Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Muslim, any kind of church. By regularly, the study defined regularly as one service a month. So roughly 12% of the people they talked to professed to go to something that calls itself a church one service a month. Roughly 2%, less than 2% of the people they talked to professed that they attended what you and I might describe as a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, gospel-centered church as often as, at least as often as one service a month. less than 2%. That's not to say that we would even agree on everything between us and them. That's just saying they're preaching the same gospel we are. Less than 2% at least once a month. I ask you the question, who is going to tell those 3 million people about the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, understanding that mere church attendance does not make one a Christian by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I can't take for granted that everyone here is saved. And your pastor can't take for granted that everyone here is saved. If you could argue for just one moment that 2% that's up there that's going to a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church at least once a month, if you could argue for just a moment that 2% are actually all born-again people, where does that leave the other 98% of the people of Wales headed for eternity? They are on their way to hell. Who's going to tell them that there is hope for eternity? As Paul put it, Romans 10:14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The Lord has led our family to the city of Wrexham in northeast Wales. It's a city of about 70,000 souls within the city limits, about 165,000 people living within the county of Wrexham. And the Lord allowed us to visit the city of Wrexham last summer. And we had to search hard to find anything resembling a gospel witness. And in a city of 70,000 souls, the state church, the church that everybody goes to, if you ask them, they might draw 100 people on Sunday. Maybe. The rest of the week, the church serves as a museum of Welsh culture. That is where the Lord has called our family. The town of Wrexham, as we walked through the streets of Wrexham last year, we saw people walking from store to store, talking on their phones, talking to each other. Busy, busy place. But what we saw in Wrexham was not just a whole bunch of people wandering around aimlessly. The Lord showed us sheep without a shepherd. The Lord showed us souls in need of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and no one to share it with them. The Lord showed us people that, who knows, down the road as the Lord allows us to go there and serve, and you might be looking in that picture at a future Sunday school teacher. You could be looking at, you know, the next great preacher to come out of Wales. You could be looking at, you know, any number of great Christian servants, if someone will reach them, if someone will tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ and where they're going for eternity. Wrexham is the home of Glyndr University, drawing students from all over Wales and all over Europe as a place to study engineering and forensics. As such, it's a great place to begin a work in that country. Begin learning the culture because it's a place where the Welsh are already accustomed to outsiders coming in. And they love it when the outsiders that they run into are actually interested in their culture and in their history and in them. There's a Hightown Barracks Military Base in Wrexham, a place where soldiers are sent just before they're deployed overseas. And again, I don't know how much access we would have to the base, but you think about the people living in that community faced with a very real possibility of death. And that creates a very unique multicultural mission field. We are serving through the Mission World Biblical Ministries worldwide. Thrilled to be a part of that mission family, and praise the Lord that surprised to have a couple from our mission family visiting here to see us tonight. There's a lot about our mission board that we fell in love with. Their focus on prayer, their focus on preparation for those who are serving under that board, but especially their focus on the local church. And our local church that we are sent out of is Trinity Baptist Church in Williamston, South Carolina, pastored by Robbie Robertson. And we are thrilled to be serving that church, carrying the Great Commission for that church to this part of that part of the world. Our mission as we go to Wales is to serve the Lord and local churches by establishing reproducing churches through evangelism, discipleship, and leadership development. Evangelism seems kind of obvious. You know, we're going out, we're telling the lost that they're in need of a Savior, sharing with them the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, about His shed blood, how He came to seek and save that which was lost, and how they too can have hope for eternal life. Going and telling, and then discipleship, teaching and growing, taking those that come to Christ and showing them what the footsteps of Jesus look like, how to follow them, how to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And of course, be, you know, a part of the church that we establish in Wrexham. Of course, leadership development. You know, one of our goals is to have Welsh leadership in the from the very beginning of the church that we establish in Wrexham. You know, Welsh leadership that can, that is of course driven towards reproducing churches, Welsh churches, in other parts of Wales where there is no gospel witness. And I'll tell you, there are many, many towns and villages in Wales where there is no gospel witness. Many of those that, you know, that I as an American would probably take at least 10 to 15 years to really get into because of the fact I'm an outsider. But you let someone, you let a Welshman come to Christ, and they know that town has no gospel witness. They know the people of that town. They know the burdens of that town. They can reach them faster than anybody. So it's about multiplying. It's about, you know, having Welsh leadership, Welsh churches, planting up more Welsh churches, and doing the work of the ministry. Hopefully I've answered some of the questions in your mind about why we're going to the country of Wales. There's a tremendous need. Of course, there's needs everywhere. We have to be sensitive to that. But the Lord has called our family in particular to the need in the country of Wales, especially right now in the city of Wrexham. And you may be wondering, okay, how can we help you? What do you want us to do? You know, often we're asked, what's your greatest need? And I'll tell you what's our greatest need. Something that every one of us can give. And that's your prayers. As Paul put it in 2 Thessalonians 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. We need your prayers. You know, the devil doesn't just attack when the bills are due. He doesn't just attack by tearing apart our vehicles. He doesn't just attack physically. He's already against what we're doing. He's already fighting us. And you know, he'll hit us with discouragement. He'll hit us with temptation, just like he does you. And I tell you, day in and day out, we need your prayers. If I can share with you our prayer goals for this year. Last year we set out with Project 111 that by January of 2011 we would be on full-time deputation, that we would have additional members to our daily prayer team, that we would have additional team members going with us to the country of Wales. Well, Project 2012, we introduced this in January because, praise the Lord, we went full-time on deputation about a month ago in January, just as folks prayed. And the Lord allowed us to do that. So we're excited to be at this full-time. We're excited to see how the Lord's already been working and what He'll continue to do. I would ask you to pray with us for this year, specifically, that we would be on the field by this time next year. If not on the field, at least very close. Our prayer is that by this time next year, we're ready to be in the country of Wales serving the Lord full-time. Additional team members. As it stands right now, we are the first family going with our mission board into the country of Wales. And we would love nothing more than to take a couple of families with us to share in that work, because there's plenty of work to be done. Pray with us that the Lord would raise up additional team members to go with us into Northeast Wales. And then finally, pray with us that the Lord would continue to build our team, our daily prayer team, up to at least 300 people. And if I can share with you, explain to you what I'm talking about. We're asking folks to simply commit to praying for the McPeters family at least once a day. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. Doesn't have to be anything elaborate. If you just lift our names before God at least once a day, you know, if you'll pray for us on a daily basis, we would love to, you know, get some contact information from you. We can send you our prayer requests. We can send you our praises. We'd also love to hear from you about your needs, about your praises, so that we can pray with you. And we're trying to build a prayer team of at least 300 people. Right now, we have nearly 150 people. We're halfway there, praying for the McPeters family daily. I'll tell you, there are days when that's what we need to get out of bed in the morning. You know, the fact is, there are days that, you know, everything seems to be going wrong, and Michelle will pull me aside and say, "Hey, folks are praying." And now it's 150 folks are praying. And I'll pull Michelle aside, you know, when things seem stretched beyond the reasonable limit of humanity, and say, "You know what, people are praying for you today." What a blessing that is. What an encouragement. And if you would be interested in joining that prayer team, I've got a bookmark I'd like to give you. It's got a section for contact information. I'd like you to get that section back to me so that we can keep you informed, and we can communicate with you. If you say, "Well, I don't know about daily," that's a lot to ask. You know what? If you'll pray for us, we'll take all the prayer that you're willing and able to give us. And we have, you know, you can feel free to take one of our bookmarks. Feel free to take a prayer card off of our table. We need your prayers. I want to thank you so much for your time. If you have questions that come up after we're gone and you think, "I should have asked them that," please visit our website at whywales.org. The website is built primarily for the sake of communicating our vision, our burden, the field, the need to folks such as yourselves.